Low Standards and Pours, welcome Wednesday, February 17th, 10 minutes to 8. Let me welcome El Carpe to the show. Glad to have everybody on board tonight. Whoever's there. Anyone?
Bueller.
Do you think there'll be a time where people are just waiting to get on our show? Kind of like a rock concert.
No.
Fade out.
Beautiful.
But, how goes it?
It's good, man. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Yeah, like I said, I just forward you a picture of what I'm drinking.
Yes, the cup of warm tea.
Yeah, all the cozy vibes.
Yes, that's a cute cup.
Yeah. Well, they said I'm not supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be drinking because it slows my heart rate down or something.
Oh, yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Mm-mm. No, and I was out all day at a closing today, so I was out from, 11:30, and I had to go run to the office, blah, 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 run to the store. And so I was about 4 hours away from R2-D2 here supplying me oxygen.
Oh, so you're tired.
Yeah, I was getting a little tired after all the running around. Yeah, so I – Hit the coffee and plug R2-D2 back in.
That is so funny you call that thing R2-D2.
Yeah, I can send you. I'll send you a picture one day. A little. I don't know.
I've seen it. My ma had one.
Oh, did she? Yeah. A little black box looking. It looks like a couple of 12-pack or a couple of cases of beer put together.
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, but anyways, keeps me alive.
Yeah, squeezes the air out into your face, and that's what you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. All right, man.
What else is shaking? What do you got? Are you the host? Are you the host tonight, or am I supposed to be the host?
You said you're the host.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I don't know if it even matters.
It matters to me because I'm always in charge.
Yeah, I know. You always seem to like take it over.
When you're the host, I try and be quiet at least for 4 minutes.
Yeah, just until the song ends, the intro.
Right, to give you give you time to do your world-class introduction. Silly boy.
Yeah, so you can tell his lungs are clearing out.
Yeah.
They are, actually, I think. But, yeah, so what'd they say as far as snowfall tomorrow? Are we getting hit at all or no?
8 yards.
Is it? I didn't mean to talk about the weather. I was just meaning to look it up. I didn't think we were getting much, if anything at all.
Well, it's supposed to start at 8 in the morning.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's up, Glenn Sports Report?
Holy crap.
We got a new guy.
Sports Report.
Yeah.
It's not just me calling in.
Yeah.
Glenn Sports Report's here. Thanks for chopping by. Hey, wanted to run this by you because I've heard about her. You want to know the most important things about our friend Glenn Sports Report?
Actually, I'd like to.
Great friend of the show, smells nice, has his own clothing line, former astronaut, and currently recovering video game addict. It's, of course, Glenn Sports Report.
Where do you get this stuff from?
It's
just swirling around your head, isn't it?
There's a lot of crap swirling around in my head, pretty much all the time. And sometimes it comes out in these weird things. But I've been watching a lot of
Little zip files. Maybe that's what we'll call them, little zip files.
Yeah, I'll give you a zip file.
Maybe how about a Zipopedia? We'll call you a Zipopedia.
Zip this honkus.
Yes, that was solid and much nicer than reality.
Nice. No, I've been listening to at work, Craig Ferguson.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The late show before it was taken over by, the other.
Yeah. Guy. I don't even know. I liked Craig Ferguson.
He was just, and see, the thing is I talk like that anyway.
Yeah.
But when I listen to him, it's like, it pulls out my natural silliness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So his cadence, the way he carries his vocalizations.
Well, his demeanor is a little.
His whole thought
perverted
process.
Demeanor. Yeah. I mean, half his show is just watching his facial expressions.
Yeah.
You know?
His show is, as much as he says he's not prepared for anything, he knows exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah.
But he then improvises. And that's how he did his comedy for a very long time, was improvise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he just does that with famous people in front of him. And he just, he's so, what do you call it? So approachable. And
yeah.
So endearing or darling.
That okay, I got one for you.
Okay.
Climb 1,000-foot antenna pole or do stand-up comedy unrehearsed in front of 1,000 people.
Stand-up comedy. Bill doesn't do heights.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them either. I'll do them, but I think I'd have to do the stand-up comedy too.
Well, the thing about stand-up comedy is if you bomb,
yeah,
you walk off stage and you're alive.
Well, yeah.
You climb 1,000-foot pole, no matter, you know, what – gravity is always going to work.
Right. It's never in your favor, I don't think, is it?
I guess it depends on how much you try to defy it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, the more you try and defy it, the more it's going to fight back and say, come on over here. We need you.
Right.
And there's that silly thing called acceleration.
Yeah.
It's not the fall that kills you.
Yeah, it's the sudden
stop at the end.
Exactly. I would love to go skydiving. I mean, in theory, I'd love to experience it, but I you know what? You could probably send me through the school, the class, whatever. Mm-hmm. You could probably put me in a plane. You could probably open the door, but you're going to have to get everybody in the plane to throw me out. I mean, I couldn't. Once you open the door, I'd probably be like paranoid, like beyond belief.
When I went it was 97 or 98 in Vegas.
Did you go skydiving? You didn't go skydiving.
I did.
Then how could you be scared of heights? You can't even, you couldn't get me out of a plane.
But there's a difference between the height of 13,500 feet. That's not a, there's a difference between that height and standing on a roof.
Oh, that's
okay. Standing on a roof for me is terrifying.
Really?
13,500 feet after going through the class and being strapped to a guy who knows what he's doing, and falling out of a plane and just going for a ride.
Did you keep your eyes closed the whole time?
No, dude. The whole thing, it was awesome. I'd do it again, except, you know,
you got kids.
Gravity and kids, and I'm old and whatever. But the thing is, though, when you get into that plane to go up to, you know, a lot of these companies that do the skydiving apparently are surviving by the skin on their teeth.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
And so the plane you get into, the plane I got into, there were parts where the duct tape was peeled off and I could see the sky from sitting in my seat.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I wanted to get out of that plane.
Yeah.
It was like, yep, if this is the way to go, I don't want to try and land in this pile of.
Right, rubble. Right. This might have a better rubble. Shot of surviving by.
Yeah. And, you know,
my parachute.
After the training, the guy's like, you got any questions? And I'm like, well, yeah, who's my guy? Because, you know, they strap you to a guy. I go, which one's my guy? Which one's my guy? He's guy raises his hand. I got you. I says, okay, I got a couple questions for you. said, number one, who packs your chute?
Right.
He says, I do. And then number two, do you like your life? Yeah. He's like, yeah. That's all I needed to know.
Right. Right.
That's all I needed to know.
You're not in the middle of a divorce or nothing, are you?
Yeah.
Funny.
Talking about Brian from ADHD. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, why don't you respond to that? You know Brian better than I do.
You guys are actually doing an improv special coming up? Well, dude, we're on. Is this Glenn, Sports Report?
Yeah.
Is this going to be on a Podbean thing, or how's this going to be broadcast? He's talking about for the four people who are listening who are not paying attention. Yes, it's a live event on Podbean, and this is talking about improv. Father Brian and Glenn Sports Report are doing an improv special coming up on April the 20th, 2021. Details to follow, I'm guessing. That'll be great. But we're there. I'm still watching that.
Yeah.
Listening to that or paying attention. Barely. I barely pay attention to anything anyway.
So. Yeah. Planet ADHD stream. Gotcha. Okay. I'll have to plug it in my phone while we're talking so it reminds me.
Yeah.
If not, I will.
I already wrote it down.
Yeah. I've got so many notes here.
Yeah, that's the problem with notes is there's a billion of them and they all get washed into stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing how popular the Post-it was, but how pretty much useless it is. It's not really useless, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you end up making wallpaper out of the
It's useful if you only have like two or three of them. But once you get past five, you're just like, well, I might as well just have a piece of paper.
Right, right. Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
I wonder what time must be a little bit later on. Because they go on during the day, don't they? Or they record during the day? I'll put it down as a reminder at like 7 in the morning, just so I know what's going to happen that day.
Mm-hmm. Put in that reminder there to text Bill.
I will.
So what was I going to say? Oh,
I'll put Father Brian and Glenn.
So my oldest, the musician, is doing a thing through her master's program. And there is a live stream going on in the other room right now with a Steinway piano guy. It's like a part of her class. So Steinway Pianos has come out with a new player piano.
Yeah.
You know what those are, right?
Yeah.
The old style player piano, you put in the paper roll with holes in it, and it rolls through and it plays the keys based on the position of the holes on, you know, it's like a your first computer, really, is what that was. But now they have apparently this player piano. It is called it's a Steinway Spirio. And the description is they were having these people perform live in one location. And the player piano was on stage in a completely different location.
Oh, interesting.
And it was playing exactly what they were playing.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like linked. And what it can do is it can play live performances.
So does it, you're saying that
don't your know how daughter, any of it works.
Your daughter and whoever else is playing another somewhere else and then the player piano somewhere else and it merges and puts together a whole entire song?
My kid's just watching this thing.
Oh, okay.
She's not participating in this one. This is I'm just marveling at the technology that they have a piano. And what they did before I had to come in here,
scary.
What they did is they took not Rachmaninoff, who was the world famous piano player who passed away in 89? Horowitz.
Oh yeah. No.
Horowitz did a live concert in 86 that they had recorded, and they were replaying that live concert on this piano.
Really?
It wasn't coming out through speakers or anything. It was being replayed on a actual piano, this Steinway Spirio piano.
Right.
And what it does is it's capable of live performance capture and playback.
Jeez.
So I'm just like, this is the beauty of technology.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
So I thought I'd share that with you today because that's something I just learned about. I think it just came out. I mean, this is like a brand newish thing within the last year or less.
Huh.
But talk about, you know, you can do a live performance in a COVID situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Endangering the piano player.
Yeah. I remember reading, this was years ago. They said that technology doubled every 5 years. And this is, I read this like 20 years ago. So you got to figure 20 years ago, the personal computer was a big deal.
Yep.
Now it's like what you're talking about, you know? So like,
they figured out a way to, you know, here we are talking on our phones and it's being recorded somewhere else to be able to be played to anybody anywhere on the planet who links into this particular software system.
Okay, I got one. Let me say this before I forget.
Yeah.
So I was talking to my buddy Jeff. He helped me move a table. I had to buy a table over the weekend. Actually, a table that I'm used for a desk. But Jeff, it does Rack House Ramblings.
Right.
Glenn, I throw this out there all the time. My buddy does a podcast, Rack House Ramblings, all about bourbon and outdoor sports like fly fishing and hunting and that kind of stuff. And he does some good stuff.
Polished.
Yeah, he's got a polished show, so it's interesting to listen to. It's a little slowed down than ours, and I don't know what I meant by that, but it's more of a just For some reason, I thought I was saying the right, like...
It's consistently less stream of consciousness. And
exactly.
Much more pre-planned and...
Yeah, like you could sounding. Actually... Yeah, you could actually listen to it.
Yeah. These two hacks just yapping away.
But he was saying, before I forget...
Don't forget.
Is you can record, say... I think like in our instance where we're about 45 miles away, mm-hmm. you can get on Zoom. I can be on Zoom. We can record on Zoom. We can take that and upload it right to Podbean.
Yeah, but Podbean doesn't have video, does it?
No, but what it sounds like is maybe in the future, we may be able to do, maybe be able to do something on Zoom and then like Twitch, you know,
There's so many different platforms that we can upload and redo.
Nonsense was talking about, you know, going to Twitch and all that. And he's doing it for a reason. And I think it's because of video. But the reason I was thinking about it is because maybe in the future, whether it's concerts or something else, we can
pursue
something
video.
On Zoom. Yeah. That's
as
what I was kind of getting
to,
at.
You know, us and me and my dungarees sitting here. In front of the computer. Nobody wants to see my ugly mug right now.
No, but we could put some cool sunglasses on you and maybe British riding cap or one of those things called.
Full frontal face mask.
Yeah, a gas mask.
Yeah, a gas mask. That'll hide the ugly. So I
it's going the other way and it's a pain. Yeah, I forget what you're talking about, Glenn. You can take audio from video without much effort. Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Going the other way. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Adding video.
Hold on. I got a note from our producers. Hold on a second. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
A note from the producers?
Yeah. Yeah, they just handed me a note. So not a big deal. I told you about it before.
Yeah, this one here?
It was a disclaimer. It's about time to read a disclaimer.
Yeah. The views and opinions expressed by these two morons are solely those of the participants in this travesty of a show. Any semblance of a coherent thought is purely accidental. The intention of this show is a little entertainment, very little, and basically a sideshow to the craziness we call real life. All shows are poorly researched, based solely on the misinformed opinions of the hosts. Any rational thought, factual information, or coherent concepts is purely coincidental. Under no circumstances should any of these ramblings be considered as complete rational thoughts. And that's the end of that. Pour me another, brother. And that is from our legal representation of Jameson Walker, Statler, and Waldorf. That legal team has been taking care of us for so long. We'll do an ad later for them. Promote the snot out of them and have a lot of fun with that.
You know, they got to bring those guys back on somehow. Statler and Waldorf. We got to do some kind of mini series or something.
Well, I thought that's what we were.
Yeah, right. We are, Kevin.
A lot less insults, though.
Oh, Glenn is Brian's legal consultant. Yeah. We were, but we got fired. No, just kidding. It doesn't even make any sense. We have our own.
No, I wouldn't know a legal thought if it bit me in the butt.
No, neither can I, or would I, or do I. Hey, who's your first album today? What's your first album?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't know how I want to do this to you. Because I'm thinking both of these I'm going to play you a couple of chords and then you're going to have to guess the band.
Yeah.
As opposed to me trying to just describe them to you and have you guess, because that's just not fair.
No. What's up, Troncat?
Troncat?
Just say allegedly. Yeah.
Troncat's
no, you're right.
You heard about my good friend Troncat, right?
No. How do you know Troncat?
Troncat, good friend of the show, smells nice, has his own clothing line, former astronaut, recovering video game addict. We love ourselves some Troncat. Thanks for stopping by, brother.
Is this off a movie?
No, actually, it's just it's inspired by Ferguson.
Craig Ferguson?
Ferguson is inspired, and I heard him do it something similar to that, and I'm like, oh, I'm totally incorporating that.
I thought, is it mouth organ or uncomfortable silence?
It's something pause.
I don't think
dramatic
Glenn
pause. It's
No, it's well, yeah, I think there was two of them.
Yeah, it's
one was Uncomfortable Silence.
The mouth organ, but I can't remember the exact phrase he uses for the uncomfortable pause. It's not dramatic pause. Something. I don't know.
No, I know. It'll
come back to me after the show is over, or when I'm listening to him again tomorrow, because I'm gonna laugh. Oh my God! I can't believe they did this one too. Damn it!
Yeah, I don't think Glenn appreciated you doubling up on him with Tron Cat.
That's all right. I'm gonna say it for everybody.
All right. So no,
I just want to point out
that we got no hard feelings.
No hard feelings, man. It's like saying, "What's up, dude?"
All right. So what do you got? What do you got for tonight? What do you got for tonight?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to play this one for you. I'm going to turn this up a little bit.
Yeah. How do you get yours sound so clear? Mine sounds like shit.
Well, because you're using your laptop. For the show.
Oh, it's right. Let me see if I can turn off the. Maybe it's the mic. I got to turn off.
You got to turn off your speakers, or the mic in the. You got to turn off the mic
in the laptop.
In the laptop. That was always the problem before, is because you sounded like 17 times louder than me whenever I'm sitting right in front of you, because you got the laptop facing you and it's picking you up through the bullet microphone as well as the microphone in the laptop.
All right, hold on. Can you still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
All right, hold on. I'm making some adjustments here.
All right. Well, you make those adjustments. I'm going to go grab my bottle. I'm going Irish tonight. I'm going cheap Irish, and it's the Paddy. You know, what, did you run away? Did I lose you? Are you hiding? Earth to Eric. Come in, Eric. Did I break something?
I'm back, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're back now, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what this is. I wish I was half intelligent when I came in.
Well, if I was over there, I'd be able to fix it in a heartbeat because
no, you can't do it. You're not as smart as I am when it comes to computers.
It's probably true, actually, now that I think about it. Whatever.
So go ahead. Okay. Whatever. I'll figure it out.
All right. Well, first I'm going to do this because this is...
That's going to be on your homework, too. You owe me. We might have to... What I'm going to have to do is get... I got my allowance today. I might have to go find a mixer or a whatever they call those things to plug in a bunch of shit and so I can play stuff, you know?
Well, you don't need that.
I know, but I don't know how... I don't know how to make it my... How to get music on here. Go ahead. Do yours. We'll deal with it.
External speakers.
I do have an external speaker. But
then you play the external speaker and you hold it roughly near the microphone.
Okay. I'll try that. I've got it right here.
Belt you in the face. So first
things violence first. Will get you nowhere.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
First things first.
This doesn't sound like no Coke bottle.
It was not a Coke bottle.
No.
It was a wee bit of the Irish. So I'm going to play this for you, and I'm going to give you 27 seconds to try and guess. And if you don't recognize it, I'll be very disappointed.
27 seconds? I'll do it in 5.
All right. Yeah, you probably will.
All right.
This you should recognize.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the Ramones, yeah.
I was thinking about doing a different one for you. This is Blitzkrieg Bop. You hear it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Do the hey hoes and then we'll fade it out.
Let's go. You know how the Ramones got their name?
No.
Well, it had something to do with Beatles and Ringo Starr.
I thought there was brothers and their last name was Ramon.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, hey, thanks, Glenn. There's nothing worth... I can't say anything worth anything anyway when I'm playing music. Nobody needs to hear me talk anyway. But so anyways, that's the Ramones. And what I was looking at was like, I wanted to get something that was just...
Why don't you say hello to Angie? She got on about 5 minutes ago.
Angie, I didn't see Angie because she was wedged in between, Glenn, because he's participating. We appreciate that. I'm assuming Glenn's a guy. I don't know. Glenn could be a gal.
Could be a gal.
Could be a guy gal.
I had a hard time reading Angie, that script.
Oh, yeah. See, that's
now, nice. You know what? Now, what song you got playing in the back of your head? I know. I'm going to hear it all night. Guarantee it. Yeah, it's my favorite Rolling Stones song, but I'm going to hear it all night. Well, it's probably my second favorite. But go ahead.
It's in the top 12 for me.
Yeah.
But no, Angie, you know about Angie because she's a good friend of the show. She smells nice. Has her own clothing line. Former astronaut. You know the rest.
Yeah. Thanks for that clarification.
I think I'm just going to cut that short. Yeah. But no, the reason I wanted to bring up the Ramones is because their first album that had Blitzkrieg Bop on it in 76, yeah. and 76 was just huge. I don't even know if it was huge at the time, but it was huge to me because I was just a young little whippersnapper back then.
Yeah.
But by 1980, when End of the Century came out, and actually just before then was the other one with, 1977, Rocket to Russia. Sheena was a punk rocker. Do You Want to Dance? Yeah. Rockaway Beach. With
Sheena was a punk rocker.
Sheena was. But, you know, and then when End of the Century came out with Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio and Rock and Roll High School. These were all just, it was like punk anthems, punk ballads.
Yeah.
You know, and it just like, it was an introduction to something really raw. This is Do You Want to Dance in the background, in case you can't hear it. You can hear that okay?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. But with this, I was re-listening to it. The bass line is so up and down and almost its own percussion.
Huh.
The way the bass line goes up and down, and I don't know. There's a...
It's...
The bass line has its own rhythm.
Yeah, that's what that's what they said about, or similar things about the Beach Boys' Pet Sematary, the album Pet Sematary, is that how much the music was layered. In other words, you could sit there and listen to each individual song, and they all had all the instruments had different tempos and different. I don't know much about music, but they all went together. They all kind of went together like a puzzle and made this beautiful music. They said the guy was brilliant.
Those guys were geniuses, but the Ramones. Yeah. The Ramones used it was four instruments, four guys, four instruments, and it was just it was like a punk.
Was it what three? Yeah, three guitars and some drums.
Yeah. They were the punk Beatles, man.
Right, right.
But all the music has good musicality to it, even though it's like that back of the garage rumblings or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just more raw.
Yeah, no, I was listening to some. It was kind of a documentary about punk music and stuff, and they were talking about CBGBs and when the Ramones started playing and kind of got into the music scene, and I can't remember why they were talking about why they played so fast, and I don't know if it was just their style. For some reason, I think there was a reason why they played so fast. Maybe it was the lead whoever played the lead guitar or whatever that was just. Nervousness, and you wanted to get through the song or something, or what? I don't remember. I forgot what I was going to say.
There's something about why they played so fast.
Yeah, shoot, I forgot. I lost my train of thought. But yeah, there was a lot of criticism about the Ramones about how fast their songs were and whatever. And I was gonna parlay it, whatever, to something else, and I don't know, I lost my train of thought.
And that's all right, because, getting derailed in the train of thought is pretty normal for this show.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of bands that will look back and go, oh, yeah, the Ramones got me into this.
Right.
As an influence. And I think the Ramones make a great influence as long as you don't try and duplicate them.
Yeah.
It's like trying to remake the Beatles. You just don't do that.
No.
The Ramones would be what I would consider like the Ramones and Blondie and just rock legends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cut their own cloth and other people grabbed onto their coattails and made great changes to the music industry and sound in itself by taking what their influences from these different bands and going, I want to try something like that, but this way, because it's me. Put their own thing into it.
Going back to what you said about not be able to replace or copy the Beatles or whatever.
Right.
Remember when Oasis came out? One of the brothers, yeah, one of the brothers kept going around saying we're the next Beatles or whatever, and I'm like, no, you're not. Yeah, doesn't matter what kind of doesn't matter what kind of music you guys can play or think you can play, you'll never replace the Beatles.
Well,
you know, but I just thought it was real arrogant and cocky to the point where it's like, I don't want to listen to you guys.
Right. And you know? the other part of it is there won't be like another Beatles.
Right. Yeah. And that's my point. That's my point.
Yeah. You can be something else as maybe famous as the Beatles.
Sure.
You know, that's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
As famous as the Beatles.
Right.
And as influential as the Beatles.
Sure.
But not even close.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's in his own category, Beatles in their own category, Ramones their own category, Blondie their own category. But yet these categories overlap just a little bit. And that's the tapestry of music.
Amen.
Oh, that's corny for a second.
I did. It's more corny the way you said it.
Yeah, well,
don't worry about it.
I wasn't.
I know what you meant. So my pick for this evening. Oh.
And
you've heard me talk about these guys before.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not ABBA or whatever.
It's not Tom Waits?
No. Nope.
Tom Waits?
No, it's not Tom Waits. I was going to make a Tom Waits reference earlier, but I...
Don't worry, I'm going to.
I bit my tongue.
I'm going to make
Well, I will now since we're on the topic of Tom Waits.
Of course you will.
He wrote a song that the Ramones covered,
mm-hmm.
and that's I Don't Want to Grow Up. And we've probably all heard that. His version is obviously much slower than
Tom Waits wrote the Baloney song.
Yeah, I want to grow up.
Toys R Us kid song.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I went to Baloney right away because my Baloney does have a first name.
Yeah, Oscar.
But I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah, can you believe that? And then he wrote one for the Eagles. My old 55 or old 55, I think it's called. He's there's some other ones out there, but yeah, he's. I don't know if he's much of a songwriter. He hasn't been covered that, or he. How can you say it? What's the? I don't. Yeah, his songs may have been covered. I don't know if he's written songs for artists. Artists have covered his songs, but I don't know if he's a big writer for other artists.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I want to make sure I said that correctly.
But anyways, so I saw this band. I think I've seen about 5 times. And I'd have to say probably one of my top – I'm probably top 5. R.E.M. probably being up there at the top, but these are probably – this might even be almost an R.E.M. equal.
Really?
Well, that's I mean, pretty close.
I,
yeah,
I
pretty
know
close.
How much you love R.E.M.
Yeah, but this is kind of like – these guys just had a a big influence on my life. And it just – not in – no, but close. I shouldn't say influence, but when I think of the 90s,
uh-huh.
I think about these guys.
I think the Dead Milkman.
Nope, and these are real small guys, real small, almost dusty small.
Like midgets?
Like pixie dust.
Oh, right.
The Pixies.
Of course.
Yeah, so when I was, it was late 80s, early 90s, I had a good buddy of mine, Jason. I got him into REM, and then he got me into the Pixies.
Yeah.
He's like, have you ever heard about these guys? And I'm like, at the time... I think I just did because they opened up for U2 for Joshua Tree, I believe.
Oh, it's been a great tour.
Yeah, it's been a while now, but I think that's the first time I saw them, and I didn't really know who the Pixies were, but if I'm not mistaken, they opened up for U2 for the Joshua Tree tour. This was the first album I really kind of had in my hand, which was a CD called Bossa Nova. And
ooh, I do remember that one.
Yeah, and they're all really good.
The name of it, but.
Yeah, there's Surfer Rosa, Bossa Nova. There's a handful of them out there, but they are excellent to see in concert. I don't know if they come again. I don't know if I'd go see them, but if the ticket prices were good and if it was the right timing, maybe you and I could buzz down there and go see them real quick. But they are.
Trump LeMond, I think, is the one I'm.
Thinking. Yeah. Yep, Trample Mano is another excellent. They're all really good. All really good. I'm drawing a blank on their first albums. I'll have to give it a second.
So,
the
question I have for you on them is, again, and I always have this one because it's the Pixies.
Yep.
Did did the guys from the Pixies, when they broke up, form other bands?
Yeah.
Or were they did they form as of, like, they broke up, two other bands broke up, PIL or something like that, and then a couple of the guys went off to form the Pixies? I don't know. I'm PIL.
Well, in a nutshell, the lead singer, Frank Black, changed his name to Black Francis, and I'm sure that's has something to do with probably copyright, you know, issues or whatever. But he went on to go solo, Frank Black and the Catholics, and then he went to Black Francis. And I don't know, he's kind of been ping-ponging back and forth. And then Kim Deal, the well-renown bassist for the group, went and formed the Breeders. So we probably all know the Breeders. Yeah.
Breeders. I like them.
Yeah. So then I think what ended up happening is there was some kind of disconnect between Frank and Kim as far as artistically where they wanted to go and blah, 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 blah. Right. And that's pretty much the reason why they broke up. So then they came back. They broke up mid-90s and they just came. God, I probably saw their first tour back was probably 8-9 years ago, and I saw it down at the Fillmore or whatever. But we're on a great show. We're on a great show. But I'll play a short little clip for anybody that wants to listen. Hopefully it sounds okay. Yeah.
You know. Let's
see. Tell me. Can you hear it?
Yeah, it's a little loud. A little tinny. Give us a little something. Yeah, we're going to have to work on your audio. Which song is that one? Very unique voice. You can turn it up a little.
What's that?
You can turn it up just a little.
All right, I'll play a couple more seconds of it. And
yeah, there you go. That's a good volume.
But anyways,
which
the way they play a lot of their music is considered loud, quiet, loud. So when you listen to it, they'll kind of pick it up and get real loud, and then they'll drop real low, and they'll build back up again, and they'll drop. And Nirvana played that way. There was a lot of bands that picked up on that. They had a documentary. Yeah, there's a documentary out there called Loud, Quiet, Loud. It's all about the Pixies. It's a good documentary. It's pretty cool. So,
This is the one that got me. Is as soon as we get past the commercial. Speaking of the Pixies, and since I seem to have the best audio quality,
yeah, you spent.
Let's get us something here. And this is the quiet, loud, quiet. It's a little haunting. This one is Where Is My Mind. I can't remember which album that's off of, but this was early 90s.
And is that the one you were going to play?
No, that's not the band I was going to play.
Oh, okay.
But you're talking about the Pixies, and I thought I'd grab this one because there's a
that's
lot
one of my
Pixies.
Favorites. Yeah, I picked an off-the-wall one, but that's one of my favorites. And you said it is haunting. It makes my gives me goosebumps a little bit. It's one of my favorite songs by him.
But it really there's a lot of quality in the music.
Yeah, you know yeah, I mean? Yeah. It's
you can pick out every instrument. And every instrument works well together.
Right.
A song should, but it tells a story, and the vocals are haunting, and the in the background vocals are just, it just gives you something.
Yeah.
You can't listen to this and not feel something.
Right, right.
If you're paying attention to it, if you're paying attention to the song, you're listening to it, you don't feel something, you're dead.
Yeah, Frank Black's lyrics, they're all over the place, too. He talks about aliens. He talks about, like, just obscure things, and it makes you want to listen to the song. Yeah, sure.
Mm. And the other thing, his voice is so unique.
Yeah, Yeah.
It's not like there's any other, there isn't any other vocalist like this guy.
I'll say it this way, and I love these guys, but I was honestly, I was a little bit disappointed. I took my friend Jeff. So I met up with my friend Jeff again after many years, and I went over his house. I was selling his house, and I was helping him paint a couple of rooms, get ready to sell. And we were talking about, you know, music and whatever. And he's like, hey, do you like the Foo Fighters? And I'm like, yeah, I love the Foo Fighters, man. They're awesome. He's like, man, I'd really like to see them in concert. And guess who had 2 tickets to the Foo Fighters?
Hmm?
Me. So I'm like, I'll tell you what, Jeff, you're invited to the Foo Fighters. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you're invited to the Foo Fighters. And because, you know, I was selling this house. It was perfect timing or whatever. Oh, and he's like, man, he goes, I'll get the limo, and then, you know, don't whatever. So we didn't get a limo. We just drove down there and we had a good time. But we were on main floor and saw the Foo Fighters. They were okay. I don't think I'd go back and see them. I don't think they're really? Yeah. And you know what? I love David Grohl. I love his whole story. I David Grohl's one of my favorite guys, but when you listen to a band like the Pixies and how well they play. And like you said, Frank Black's, the way he sings his vocals are, they keep you really like mesmerized. Like you want to listen. Whereas like Dave Grohl, he's more of a, he sings awesome. He's an awesome band, but Frank Black's just got something past that.
Yeah. You know, this is,
even though the Foo Fighters are, you know, 10 times the size of the Pixies, Frank Black's got something that makes you listen.
Well, and again, the Pixies, what, 4 or 5 albums?
Yeah, about that. They're in a bunch of B-side albums and odds and ends reports.
B-sides that did something. This is this is from Bossa Nova. I can't remember what year this is, but this is Stormy Weather. This is the other one that I really liked.
Yeah, Bossa Nova's like 89, 90. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, getting out of college going, yeah, of course the Pixies.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure we probably could have gone and seen them live at one of the local places, not even known it.
Yeah. Yeah, they opened up, they did a couple of the shows out in Chicago, the Lollapaloozas or whatever, the more recent ones. Whatever shows they're called now, I don't know what they're called out in Chicago. But sort of the Replacements. The Replacements started touring again, but it's kind of like what you said. It's like I saw the Replacements back in their heyday, and I was like 15. It's like I don't know if I want to go see them again, you know.
Well, right, and there's some bands that, you know, I'm happy just seeing once.
Yeah, I don't want to be disappointed.
Hey, I see Sarmenti came back. Good friend Sarmenti, great friend of the show, Smells Nice, own clothing line, former astronaut, recovering video game addict. We love Sarmenti.
Sarmenti, yeah, he was the one, the groups out in
That guy.
Scandinavian type groups, the groups with the females and more their
electronic.
Yeah, he was on
that fun, cool shit from Texas and
Florida. Did you end up looking up any of that?
Yeah, I was listening to it all the next day. It was great stuff.
Oh, you gave us a compliment too. Finally, a podcast where people are speaking proper English.
Thanks.
I know. I had like 12 years of Catholic school English, but it's gone. It's gone to the pits.
Right. But it's well,
we're having the words.
Just say Jesus 17 more times. Sorry.
Helung. Helung.
Right.
That must be hello. Must be hello.
So that's your Pixies.
Yeah. Do you have the next one? You have the next one.
I can do the next one.
Yeah.
I'm going to fade out the Pixies here.
good fade.
You like that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you this. This is a band from the early 80s, local Detroit. And I'm not going to tell you anything more other than local Detroit guys. Interesting music.
Oh, Helung is a band. Sorry, go ahead, Bill. That's my ADHD.
In 1982, this song came out. And when I heard this song, I'm like, this is Claire. My band. Now, what was going on in 1982, right?
Berlin Wall?
No, that was Reagan. That was later. Berlin Wall is 80.
Yeah, yeah.
But Reagan was elected in 80.
Oh, that's right. Dude, you went down on the second.
Second term.
Second term, yeah. Rusty Rachel, how you doing?
But musically, we're dealing with this opening up into from punk into this weird sort of the Adam Ant's coming out.
Is that Rick James you got playing back there?
Well, exactly. Superfly? Rick James was big in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And there's just all sorts of weird influences going around. The bomb and there's funk.
Yeah.
Disco was just dying. All these different things. All these
disco will never die.
But all these different influences are coming out from 79 to 83. This song came out in 82, and I bought the 12-inch single, and that's what we're listening to. The song is Tell Me That I'm Dreaming. Who's the Detroit band? You'll never guess it. Although you might recognize the vocals.
God, I don't know. I'm listening to that guy with a deep voice in the back, and it's...
Yeah. It's just great. Great, well-produced, delicious music. I heard this on the radio, and I'm like, and it would have been WLBS.
WLBS.
Which was, I think, 106.7.
You know what?
102.7 or something like that back in the old days. And they were doing all the progressive stuff. It was before 89X was even thinking about being a dream. But this song, Tell Me That I'm Dreaming, is the one that made me fall in love with Was Not Was.
Really?
Yeah. Was. David Was.
Interesting.
Don and David. Brothers.
Never would have guessed.
Well, but they're so eclectic. The thing is Was Not Was is one of these. Both guys, I think, ended up doing more production work than they only did three albums.
Yeah.
But they've done production for movies, production for other bands. They're just talented, skilled individuals.
Oh, interesting. Never would have guessed in a million years. I mean, you said Detroit, so I probably could have narrowed it down, but that I probably would have been 40 bands down the list before I even thought about those guys.
Right. So this one was a fun, and you know, it was at the time when they were putting remixes on stuff and adding layers of, what do you call it, like edits from, like, that one had President Reagan talking.
Right, right.
Towards the middle of it. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. But they also did this other one.
You ever?
And this is a world famous song. But this is from their third album, Are You Okay?
Wow, this is way heavy in the 70s.
But it's, well, it's because this song was way heavy in the 70s. This is a remake. But these guys turned this song into their own. There's a rap roll in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it's completely unique. Give a wild guess at what this song is. It's a remake.
Which is it not Money? Wait, it's
Let It Go a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard this kind of 1,000 times. I mean, the intro.
It's an old Motown.
Yeah.
Let it roll for a minute. This is,
I can hear. I just gotta.
Yeah, these guys are just phenomenal, talented individuals. Yes, I will. That ain't right. Are you getting this one? Come on, where's your Motown knowledge?
I'm just drawing a blank. I am. It's I mean, I've heard the song.
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Because here it comes.
Who sang it?
Just about everybody did this.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I don't have no idea how many times it's been remade, but.
I believe it was made famous by Motown. And I can't remember which Motown artist did it first.
Like War? I mean, like a group like War or like...
It could have been War, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. One of those... I don't know.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
These are the same guys that did Walk the Dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a rap going on.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of this, he just throws into rapping. But then, you know, that's unique and interesting. But then there's this one, which I really like, for the musicality of it and the harmonies, the vocals, the bass. This has all the elements of rhythm and blues without a biting guitar. And this one's Boys Gone Crazy. This was not was, man.
How weird.
Yeah. These are the same guys from the first album did a song with Ozzy Osbourne.
Huh.
And it was, yeah.
Well, turn that noisemaker down for a second. This is what I picked up on this group, and I don't know how, somewhere through Spotify, but they've got a couple songs that I'm going to play at my next party. It reminds me of like... I don't know where they're from. It's a group called Mother's Finest. But it's got that disco rock kind of...
I know that girl's voice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can. I'm already bouncing.
It's a foot tapper.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I love it.
It's almost got Aretha feel to it. The vocals sound a little Aretha-like. And who was that?
It's called Mother's Finest. They're back from 1977, and I just stumbled on them through Spotify, and I get into my Ford Tempo, and I can't play them loud enough.
that tempo's about to die, man.
I know. I sold that months ago. What are you talking about?
You replaced it with a bicycle, right?
Yeah, I probably should. That'd be nice, fit and trim. All right, so this is what I've got. So these guys were kind of part of the punk revolution. Maybe not as popular as the Ramones or the Clash or any of those, but a little bit more underground. Named after a Scandinavian board game, I believe.
I like it already.
Yep. They've kind of, I won't say that. Let me see, what else can I say? Three-piece band, one of their first three-piece punk bands. You know,
don't tell me who it is. Just play a song.
Okay, let me see here.
I want to guess.
And I'm not going to play one of their popular ones, but there's a lot of connections that I make with this band. It's kind of the first punk bands that I started listening to when I was a much younger lad. But I still listen to them today. Here we go. Ready? Here we go.
The Damned.
The who?
The Damned.
No, close though. I mean, similar sound.
I was going by the vocal. I can hardly hear it now.
Anyways, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Too much technology going on here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got to figure out this, like, how to play it so it sounds good. So it's Husker Du. And,
oh, right, yeah.
So Kurt Cobain and David Grohl, they all talk great things about Husker Du, and they're all, when they were younger, they listened to Husker Du. And I've seen Bob Mould, the lead singer of Husker Du, a bunch of times in concert, and he does some good solo stuff. But he,
Bob Mould, wasn't he part of something else?
Sugar was one of them. Yeah. And
he did because that, I mean, that name's familiar.
Yeah, like from something else. God, was there one other one that he did together? He did some electronic stuff too, but neither one of us would know anything about that. I'm sure it was real kind of. It was more. He was living in D.C. and he was putting out some electronic music through a couple of the big whatever. You know, kind of like our Fillmore or whatever. And right. I think he moved out to Los Angeles or the California area. But let me see what comes up by putting Bob Mould. But he's done a ton of solo stuff. He's kind of getting back in the game again.
He's still around. Okay.
Still around, yeah. But you remember the song See a Little Light? You remember that? See a Little Light. I'm sure you remember it. He had some hits.
See a Little Light, Bob Mould. I got it.
You got it? Yeah, yeah. You play it because I can't. Oops.
Because I got the audio that works.
Yeah. So you'd remember that one.
I'm sure I would as soon as it comes up here. Here we go. Let's see a little. I like his guitar work. Yeah, I forgot about this.
You remember that song?
Yeah. Early 2000, late 90s.
I think so.
He's got a very unique voice.
Yeah. Almost soothing.
Yeah.
He came out with Black Sheets of Rain and Workbook, and they're both excellent solo albums.
Yeah.
And then, I'm looking. Yeah, so he just went on to form Sugar. Sugar had a bunch of great songs, too. Nothing that would hit that big, but most of... I think Husker Du came out with about 5 or 6 albums back in the day, but they were kind of like replacements. They could play hardcore punk, and they could come out with a song almost like what you're listening to, you know?
Yeah,
and,
you go from punk to ballad to...
Yeah, and that's what they were known for, and that's kind of why I stuck with them and got into them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their stuff, in fact, Warehouse Songs and Stories was the last album they produced. It was 1988, probably. But if you listen to that album... That album kind of leapfrogged Bob Mould into his solo career because it's Warehouse Songs and Stories and Bob's solo career are pretty much the same. It's the same music. So, and then the drummer.
See a Little Light. I'm very familiar with this song that I'm like, I remember where I was when I heard it.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. If anybody's out there that likes the old garage kind of punk stuff, take a listen to Husker Du.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Good stuff, man.
But there's a lot of big connection between Kurt Cobain and then obviously the drummer, which was David Grohl, and Bob Mould. And the cool thing is you see David Grohl playing with Bob Mould in some benefit concerts and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like you grow up with these guys when you're a young kid, and then when you're older, you're actually playing with them, you know? It's got to be a kind of a cool feeling. You know, the people that you admired when you were young.
That's the fun. It's, I don't know. What was I trying to say?
I think I lost. Let me see.
You know, this one. It's the one that made him famous.
Yeah. Kind of disco-y.
Yeah, but it's fun disco-y, kind of odd. I don't know. You were there. You went to see Detroit Does Detroit with me, right? Did you
no.
see my brother's band do Was Not Was?
No.
Oh. So, in the local music scene in Detroit
All right, I'll
gets
stop.
Together, and they do a... Detroit does Detroit. So local upcoming bands that are hitting the bars and you know, doing stuff, start playing music from the classic Detroit bands. Romantics, Was Not Was, Motown stuff, Madonna. Anybody who is from the Michigan area gets covered. Everybody gets to do three songs.
Right.
From, you know, in 1 year, my brother's band got picked to do Was Not Was, and they did a great version of Was Not Was, Walk the Dinosaur.
Yeah.
It was also shortly around the time when people were doing those mashups.
Yeah.
And they did a version of Walk the Dinosaur with now I can't think of it. They did a mashup live on stage with Walk the Dinosaur and some other song that I can't think of.
Oh.
Let's see. Walk the Dinosaur mashup. Someone else did this. I was supposed to go.
That's when I was sick.
Yeah, they did Uptown Funk with Walk the Dinosaur. Something like this.
I gotcha.
You know, it's so fun when people do fun stuff and recreate.
Uptown Funk. Who's the guy who just did Uptown Funk?
I don't know, whoever that guy is.
Yeah, Uptown Funk. Remember, I don't know.
M people for all I care.
Yeah.
But it's a cool song. And then the version that my brother and their band did was great on stage. And it wasn't just some slamming mashup. They were playing Walk the Dinosaur and the female vocal girls. And one of the other guys was singing Uptown Funk while they're playing the music to Walk the Dinosaur.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was great.
That's just cool.
A great show. Oh, yeah, it was really cool. But, you know, and that's the thing is you can go out and be creative and just have fun with the music, man.
Maybe we should pick up a couple instruments.
I have a whole range of harmonicas that I don't know how to play.
Mouth organs? That could be version two of Bill and Eric's Excellent Adventures.
Right. Well, I got the little dinger thing that I left at your house.
Yeah. Yeah, I still have it. I ding it once in a while.
The three key xylophone?
Yeah, I can bring it back and make it part of our show.
Feel free to do whatever you want. Maybe I'll find my harmonicas. Mouth organ. You know, just to suck and blow.
Yeah, careful. Careful how you say that.
Mouth organ.
No, I know.
Harmonica, whatever. Pipes. So here's the other part of what's got to happen here. So since we're going to skip the commercial for Jameson Walker and Statler and Waldorf, only because I don't feel like doing it. And I'm going to go back to the full disclaimer because I'm about to give you this day in rock history. And I'm going to throw
useless knowledge.
Some useless knowledge of things that happened today in history of rock. But before I do that, I have to make sure that everyone knows the views and opinions expressed by these two morons are solely those of the participants in this travesty we call a show. Any semblance of a coherent thought is purely accidental. The intention of this show is just a little entertainment, very little, and basically a sideshow from the craziness we call real life. All shows are poorly researched, including this upcoming segment, and based solely on the misinformed opinions of the hosts. Any rational thought, factual information, or coherent concepts, purely coincidental. Under no circumstances should any of these ramblings be considered complete factual thoughts. That said, this day in rock history, in 2005, a 1965 Fender Stratocaster guitar belonging to Jimi Hendrix sold for £100,000 at auction in London.
Yeah. Sounds awfully cheap for Hendrix.
Well, it was also 2005.
Yeah, but it's not that long ago.
16 years ago.
Yeah.
My youngest was 2 years old.
I know.
Had I sent my youngest to college right away, it would have cost me an eighth of what it cost me now.
Yeah.
So go figure. In 2000, John Lennon's Steinway piano, on which he composed Imagine, went on display at the Beatles Story Museum in Liverpool, England.
I think that piano is probably worth a hell of a lot more than that guitar.
I would imagine that a John Lennon piano, where he composed Imagine, would be worth about $6.18 gazillion.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe even more than 11,000. Yeah, exactly.
11,000. Where's your grammar tonight?
There is not a number that exists that could put a value on that particular piano.
No, priceless. Priceless. Right.
1979, Clash opens their first USA tour.
You know, they were late, weren't they? Wow. I wonder when they got started out in the UK, out that way.
75, 78. I mean, 1979 was right at the cusp of all the craziness. And 1980 Combat Rock comes out.
Yeah.
Is it 80 or 81?
It's got to be around there somewhere.
Yeah. In 1979, Blondie scored their first UK number one album.
Yeah, let me see.
Parallel Lines.
London Calling.
Yeah. When did this come out? Well, London Calling was after, right? I thought, no, or was Combat Rock, it's like 84.
Yeah, I think then London Calling. Oh, Combat Rock was 84?
I'm guessing,
London Calling looks like it was 79.
That makes more sense. London Calling was first. Combat Rock was, you know, Rock the Cat Box, that one. Yeah, that was 84.
That started making punk and alternative music the cool. Yeah. I mean, when London Calling came out, that was kind of, I don't know.
That was the opening.
Pretty
79 was a great year.
Yeah, it was a flip from disco to just it was like entirely different music.
Blondie, The Clash, The Ramones, all these other bands, these type of things just started to hit it right around 79.
Well, think about who we had in 79. We had like Zeppelin. We had like Deep Purple. We had like all these like heavy rock bands.
Huge
Sabbath.
Rock bands.
Yeah, Sabbath. Like and all of a sudden you got something that comes out like, you know, The Clash and The Ramones. And well, The Ramones were an American band, right?
Yeah, but still, there was just this extra little weirdness that popped out. Yeah, put your weirdness away. In 1960, on this day, Elvis Presley won his first gold record for the album Elvis. Yeah.
What year and date did he die?
Your birthday is 74, right?
I think it was 77.
Could be, yeah.
August 16th, 1977.
Yeah, but it was your birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was on a playground across the street listening to a transistor radio. Me and my buddy Jeff sitting on one of those big rubber tires.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley found dead.
Do you remember when, well, you probably weren't old enough. Well, you might have been. Do you remember when the Beatles broke up?
No, I don't remember anything about the Beatles.
Oh.
About any of their milestones. I don't even remember. What year was Lennon shot?
16. Oh, Lennon was shot in
1980. 80, that's right. Yeah.
I remember that. That was a horrible year. A lot of people got shot that year.
Yeah. Well, they were going through a big recession, too.
Yeah. Well,
it was tough times.
On a side note, in 1966, Nancy Sinatra was at number one on the UK singles chart with guess what? These boots are made for walking.
For walking.
Yeah.
So, I think that was her only hit.
Well, you know, and she had the great last name, but.
It's probably the only. That song, I'm sure, was written by somebody else. I bet you Dolly Parton wrote that song.
That's possible, and sure. Just feel free to make up whatever facts that you think. This is why I read the disclaimer.
Right.
You wonder why I put that out there. That's just because it's two idiots rambling. Someone might actually take us seriously, and that.
You know, Jeff. We mean Jeff. Jeff and I were talking about this. He says, "You guys." In other words, he has to do the same thing, but he doesn't really talk about the same things that we talk about. But he says, "Just he goes. We got to remember on these podcasts that everything that we say is being recorded. So, got to be careful with like saying the word like B-O-M-B or, you know, whatever word you might, I don't even want to spell the words, but.
Right. But
somebody might get the wrong idea and report us. Then Bill's going to jail. I got to go by myself.
Yeah, I'm not going to jail. Not for anything I do on this stupid podcast.
He said cheese whiz one too many times.
Cheese and rice. Are you kidding me?
Cheese and rice.
Yeah. That's what I had for dinner yesterday.
Cheese and rice.
And we'll go right back to the mouth. Right, I'll give you the mouth organ. There's a lot of sucking and blowing going on, and I don't care about talking about
there's
it.
There's no sucking and blowing going on in this podcast.
It's a mouth organ.
Nope. Larry.
Harmonica, whatever. Call it whatever you want. And that's the fun innuendo that we can get away with. Are you through with me?
Yeah, let's keep it to an hour.
I'm digging it.
I gotta get back on my oxygen so I can do this on Sunday.
Right. And you know, I think we got
I was off for like 5 hours today, so yeah. Well, you know what's happening? If I'm not on my oxygen, I get tired. I went to bed last night at 10. Mm-hmm. I slept till 9. Like I blew right through my alarm and everything, so it's kind of scary.
I'm a little sleeping, jealous. Like,
too heavy. Yeah, that was a good one. I gotta be careful. I gotta stay on my R2-D2 thing here.
Yeah, keep breathing, baby. We want you to stay breathing.
Appreciate it. I want to stay above the grass.
Well, as long as we can. Keep that beat alive. Hit that perfect beat, boy. Hit that perfect beat, boy.
I don't know who's saying it.
I do. I can't think of it right now. A Bronski beat.
The Bronski beat? Small Town Boy?
Yeah, I got two of their albums at my house. Oh, wait.
Thanks for listening, everybody. It's Wednesday.
Thanks for stopping by.
Low Standards and Pores. I think our show's morphed into album reviews, which is okay for right now.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
It's a fad we're going through. We got a decent program. And, you know, we're talking about stuff we like, so, you know, we're going to keep doing it.
Any negative or positive comments, feel free to send over to Bill about our show.
I'll take them. I don't care. I'm happy to hear it. But, I like the idea of us talking about music we like. Maybe somebody go out there and buy an album, buy a song.
Yeah.
Or support some music.
We've talked about some good albums,
some good bands, some good albums, some good stuff.
Maybe somebody might go out and actually buy one of them and come back and report to see how they liked it.
Yeah.
They actually enjoyed it. And then get back with us on Sunday. We'll talk about your Krigsgaldar by Helon.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that one down because I want to look it up. And then we can talk about it then.
Yeah.
We sort of plowed through everything today,
Speak up, Chief, because I can't hear you.
I'm trying to write this down.
All right.
Krigsgaldar. H-E-I-L-U-N-G. All right, look it up. I always like some good, unique stuff. So, we'll have some fun on Sunday.
Yeah, Bill's going to be playing, practicing his mouth organ on Sunday. Yeah, so, tune in for that. He's going to play all along the watch hour, maybe, or something good.
Yeah, a lot of suckers blowing.
We will see you then.
All right.
I have another phone call coming in, and our producer says, cut it short.